message is by Pastor Mike Hammonds of Angleton First Assembly of God, located in Angleton, Texas. May the Lord bless you and speak to your heart as you listen.
We have just finished up three messages, kind of did a series that focused on the life changes of three different men in the Bible. We started with Simon, who became Peter. He was the loud, crude fisherman who became a follower and disciple of Jesus. And then we looked at Jacob's life, and Jacob, a deceiver, a cheat, a fraud. And then he had an encounter with God and wrestled with God through the night, and it changed his life, and he became Israel, the patriarch of the Israelites. And then last week, we looked at Saul of Tarsus, had a major encounter with God, and he became the Apostle Paul. He went from persecuting the church to writing the Bible. That's a pretty major change. So all three of these men had some big changes. So title of the message, what about you? What about you? What's your story? What was your encounter with Jesus like? How did it affect and change your life? There ought to be some change, right? So when we look at Paul, we looked at his last week. I want to pull out a few things that I didn't pull out last week. This was Paul's behavior prior to conversion. I know I shared a lot of that, but I want to pull out three verses. Galatians 1:13 says this. Paul says, "You have heard of my former conduct in Judaism, how I persecuted the church of God beyond measure and tried to destroy it." That was his former conduct. In Acts 22, he says this, "I persecuted the followers of the way, hounding some to death, arresting both men and women and throwing them in prison." And then I like this one. In Acts 26, verse 9, Paul says this, "I used to believe that I ought to do everything I could to oppose the very name of Jesus." I love that phrase, "I used to believe." How many of you got some used to believe in you? Or "I used to do some things. At one time, I was this. At one time, I believed this. At one time, I did this." See, I used to believe that I could, that I should do everything I could to oppose Jesus. That was Paul. See, Jesus changes the way you think. Jesus changes the way you see things. Jesus will change what you believe and your perspective on things. So what about you? Is there something you used to do that you no longer do because of Jesus? Is there a way that you used to think or something you used to believe that has changed because of Jesus? Now, let me put some of you at ease, because I don't want to communicate the idea that your salvation encounter, your change has to be like that of Paul's. How many of y'all know Paul's was pretty radical? See, for some, the change may not be as drastic or as extreme as others, because some aren't as dark as others when they come to know Jesus. Some may be basically a good person, but there is still some change. It may be primarily internal. They may begin to serve Jesus out of joy instead of out of duty and obligation. That might be the change. But Jesus changes us. See, for me, my experience, somewhat like Jacob, there was a wrestling match in the middle of the night, and I was up most of the night wrestling with things, this big tug of war going on inside of me. And my experience was somewhat radical. And by morning, even though I didn't limp, I had changed the way that I walked. For Teresa, her experience wasn't like mine at all. Teresa was saved at the age of 8 years old. She didn't spend a lot of time in Heathenville. She doesn't know the date and the details of her salvation. I was saved on Tuesday night, March the 30th, 1982. Come March, it will be 40 years. Yeah, I know, I feel that. Teresa doesn't know the date of her salvation. She doesn't know the details. I can tell you mine was somewhere in between probably 8 and 9:30. I remember things 40 years ago, and I remember it almost like it was last night. Some of the details. It was vivid. Hers, when were you saying? I don't remember the date. Well, you're probably not. No, it's not all the same for everybody. So I want you to understand that. But even those who don't go to Paganville, You know, some people do horrible things, and so it's a radical change for them. Some people don't do horrible things. Listen, I'm communicating this because I don't want you to get the idea that you have to go out and get a testimony before you come to Jesus. Teresa's testimony is one of the best ever to have. Even those who don't do horrible things, though, still need salvation. And let me say this about Teresa as well. She was saved at the age of 8, but there was somewhere in her teen years, and she doesn't know this date either, but somewhere in her teen years, she made what she calls an adult decision for Jesus. It was a fresh commitment. I mean, she was saved, but she was looking at the lives of others. She was looking at her own life, and she just made a fresh, deeper commitment. It's like she's been in the pool all along, but she decided, I'm going to swim out a little deeper in my relationship with Jesus. So I don't want you to get the idea that all salvations are the same, but everybody needs salvation. So what about you? What changed for you when you came to know Jesus? Now, I want to go to a passage here. I've quoted this one many times. I have referenced this in many messages. And so today we're going to take a closer look at it. But please, when I bring it up, please don't go, oh, I've heard this, and tune me out. This ain't that. Same passage, different message. Okay? Matthew chapter 16, verse 13 through 18. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do people say that the Son of Man is? They replied, some say John the Baptist. Others say Elijah. And still others, Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. But what about you? He asked. What do you say, or who do you say I am? Simon Peter answered, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus replied, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. Father God, we thank you for your word. Speak to us by your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Listen, it's the same thing today. That question, what about you? Who do you say that I am? We're going to look at that question today. And the answer that the disciples gave, well, some say this and some say that. In other words, not everybody knows. And Jesus didn't even try to defend all of that. He didn't respond to all of that. He just looked at Peter and said, what about you? And that's what I want to do this morning. What about you? We've talked about Peter and Jacob. We've talked about Saul became Paul. But what about you? Who do you say that Jesus is? What about you? See, I believe this is probably the most important question you'll ever have to answer in your life. The second most important question might be, do you take this man to be your husband? Do you take this woman to be your wife? But more important than who you marry is your salvation. So I'm going to give you 3 points this morning. They're all tied to this question that's up on the screen. What about you? Who do you say that Jesus is? Number one, these aren't big, deep points. These are just some stepping stones through the message. Number one, there is a right answer. There is a wrong answer. See, I'm not concerned what others say this morning. I don't care what the college professors think. I don't care what Hollywood thinks about who Jesus is. I don't care what Joy Behar thinks. I don't care what Whoopi says. I don't care about Oprah's answer. I don't care about any famous person. I don't care how smart they are. I don't care what George Soros thinks. I don't care about the people of power and the political people, what their answer is. What I want to know is, what is your answer? What my friends say, I don't care what your friends think, your peers. Well, my parents say, you know, that's good, but I'm not asking you what your parents say. I'm asking you, what do you yourself say for an answer? See, it matters how you answer this question. It's part of your final exam. And there's no do-overs on the test. Even if most of the class fails. I remember being in college and I got a bad grade Bad grades hurt me. I don't like it. I will argue for a point. I was so relieved that most of the class got bad grades because we all got to take the test over. That's not this. Inadequate answers also weren't good. Well, Jesus is a teacher. True, but that's insufficient. He's more than that. He's the Christ. He's the Son of the living God. And Peter gives us that answer. Peter gives us the right answer. He's the Son of the living God. And in Matthew chapter 3, when Jesus was baptized, a voice from heaven, the Father's voice, spoke and said, "This is my Son, in whom I am pleased." And maybe, I don't know, maybe that's how Peter got the revelation. I looked into it, couldn't find that all the disciples there, but I would think they would be there watching Jesus get baptized. And if so, then Peter and the others saw Jesus get baptized, heard the voice saying, "This is my Son." Maybe that's how Peter got the revelation. He heard God say it. I don't know. But somehow he has the right answer. Peter knows he's the Messiah. Peter knows that he's the coming one prophesied by Isaiah. Peter knows it, but not everybody else knows it. So the question is, do you know it? Do you know who Jesus is? Because Jesus is that and more. Jesus is the Alpha and the Omega. He's our advocate. He's the author and the perfecter of our faith. The Bible says he's the bread of life. He's the bridegroom. He's the chief cornerstone. He's the deliverer. In Revelation, he's the rider of the white horse, whose name is faithful and true. He's the good shepherd. He's the King of kings. He's the Lord of lords. He's the Lamb of God. He's the light of the world. He's the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He's Emmanuel, which means God with us. He's our hope. He's our peace. He's prophet, priest, and king. He's the Redeemer. He's the risen Lord. He's the rock. He's our Savior. He's the Son of Man. He's the Son of God. He's the Son of the Most High. He's the creator of all things. He's the Prince of Peace. He's the Word. He's the true vine. He told Martha, "I am the resurrection and the life, and the one that believes in me will never die. They will live again after they die, and they'll live forever." He's the resurrection and the life. In John 14, 6, Jesus said of himself, "I am the way, the life, and the truth. And no one comes to the Father except through me." He also said, "I am the door, and if anyone enters by me, he will be saved and go in and find pasture." Jesus is the door to salvation. Jesus is the way to salvation. See, when it comes to salvation, Jesus is not the best option. He is the only option. Jesus is the answer. See, all gods are not created equal. Jesus is the one who died on Calvary for your sins. Jesus is the one who was buried. Jesus is the one who rose again on the third day. Jesus is the one who conquered death, hell, and the grave. Jesus is the one who walked out of the tomb having been dead for 3 days. Jesus is the name above all other names. And he is the one true God. It matters how you answer this question. When it comes to salvation, Jesus is the answer. I know we live in the age of everybody gets a trophy. But the everybody goes to heaven concept is not true according to the Word of God. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son that whoever would believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. The idea that everybody's a child of God, also a concept not in the Bible. John 1:12 says, "As many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those that would believe in his name." It's important that you know the right answer. Not any answer will do. There is a right answer and there is a wrong answer. Buddha is a wrong answer. Muhammad is a wrong answer. Krishna is a wrong answer. Gandhi is a wrong answer. Good people maybe, but not saviors. Jesus is our Savior. He is the Christ. He is the Son of the living God. And you need to know him, the right answer. So, what do you say? What about you? Who is Jesus to you? Number two, the right answer comes through revelation. Whenever Peter gave that answer, Jesus said, "Blessed are you, Simon, for this answer was not revealed to you by man, by flesh and blood, but it was revealed to you by my Father in heaven." Notice what he says, "Blessed are you, Simon." Why is Simon blessed? Because he has the right answer. If you know the right answer today, you are blessed. Notice what Jesus didn't say. He didn't say, "Simon, you're smarter than those other people." He said, "You're blessed." He didn't say you're better than those other people. You're blessed. He didn't say I love you more than those other people. He said you are blessed. You're not better because you know the answer. You're not smarter. You're not the best looking because you know the answer. You are blessed because you know the answer. Because Father reveals this. It's revelation. Y'all remember the thorn that Paul dealt with? He says this. This thorn was given to me because of the abundance of revelations that I have. And the thorn was given to me that I might not think more highly of myself than I should. These revelations are making me haughty, and God says, I'll bring you down a little bit with a thorn. And we're not going to discuss and argue about what the thorn is, but here's the thing. When you get a revelation, when you know something that others don't know, there's a tendency to think you're better. You don't know? Well, let me tell you. In other areas, fine, do it however you want to do it. But when it comes to knowing Jesus, you're not better than anybody because you do and they don't. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, we looked at it last week. Paul said this, if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. It is hidden, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, those who do not believe. See, those that don't believe are blind. And like I told you last week, you can't blame a blind man for not being able to see. The word reveal. And that's what Jesus said, my Father has revealed this to you. When you look it up, I know you know what the word means, but in the Strong's Concordance, the original language, the word means this, to take off the cover. To take off the cover. Y'all remember that show, Let's Make a Deal, right? It's behind the curtains, or it's under the box, and then we remove it and we reveal. Or maybe you go home and there's cooking going on, and you go into the kitchen, and what do? You take off the cover because you want to see what you're about to eat. Take off the cover. Or maybe there's a new painting we're going to reveal. And you know how they do it. There's a big sheet over the painting. And they talk about it. And then they take off the cover. And then we see what's there. That's what reveal is. That's what revelation is. It's when we take off the cover. And remember, their minds are blinded. For those that don't know, those that don't see, those that don't believe, they're blinded. And whenever you all of a sudden can see, is the cover is removed. And your eyes are open. And it wasn't because you're smart. Wasn't because you're better. The Father revealed something to you. You are blessed. I want to do something. This is a last minute thought. We'll put it up in a minute, not just yet. But I remember the first time I ever saw one of these years ago. It was in a mall. A guy was selling them, but he had one of them set up on a tripod. And there was like a crowd of people, you know, 10, 12 people, and they're all standing there. And they're all looking at this painting on the tripod. And I'm looking at the painting too, and it's nothing I would buy. Most modern art is nothing I would buy. And this painting is not even modern art. It just looks, it's just, I don't know, it's just a pattern. Well, they're looking at it because I learned that within that pattern, if you look just right, tilt your head just right, look through the picture and stare at it a certain way and close one eye, whatever you got to do, all of a sudden a picture within the picture pops out. So I did it. I stood there. I looked. I got one guy saying, you got to look through it. And the other guy says, do this, do that. So I'm trying to follow all the instructions. I ain't seeing a thing. Put it up there. This is what I was looking at. It's one of these. Now, I can't sit here until all of you see it because we'll be here till dark. It probably took me 20 minutes before I finally, all of a sudden, this picture that's hidden in there jumped out. Now, some of you are sitting there thinking, there is no picture in there. Some of you may have already seen it. Can I see the hands if anybody's already seen the picture in the picture? Nobody. Good. I'm going to tell you something. There are three rabbits in that picture. See, you don't believe me. I'm telling you, there is a Jesus who died for your sins and will save you. And the world's out there, I don't believe you. I'm telling you. If your eyes could be revealed, if your eyes could be uncovered, if there could be a revelation, all of a sudden you would see those three rabbits. Y'all, listen, stand on your head. I don't care. I can't give you any more time on this. I'm sorry, but I know some of you feel defeated because you didn't figure the puzzle. Let me give you an easier one. Go to the next slide and just see. You'll see this couple sitting by a lake under the tree branch. But how many of y'all see the baby? Anybody see the baby? Look, hands are going up. See, I am telling the truth. There's a baby in there. Now, some of y'all are, there ain't no baby in there. There's a man and a woman, looks like, sitting there. There ain't no baby. We ain't got much time on this. Patricia, would you go one more slide and show them? Y'all see that outline I just put there? Y'all see that baby? Now, go back to the other one. Now, we're back to the original. Now that I've showed you, you see the baby, don't you? Now, here's the thing. Once you've seen the baby, you can't unsee the baby. Now, listen, I'm not just having fun. Once you know who he is, you can't unknow it. Once you have the revelation of who Jesus is, it impacts your life. And it's like, oh, no, I've seen. I can't get away from this now. Anybody not seen the baby yet? I need everybody to see the baby. All right, move on. Let's get back to it. So when we have a revelation, you remember that old song we used to sing, Open the Eyes of My Heart? That's what revelation is. It's the eyes of the heart, the eyes of the spirit being opened. And all of a sudden, you see the baby that's been there all along, but now you see it. Or the three rabbits that are really there, I'm telling you. See, Peter had more than information from a man. Peter had a revelation from God. There's a difference between information and revelation. Information is taught. Revelation is caught. You can be talked out of information, but not revelation. You can change your mind on information, but when you have a revelation, you can turn your back on it, but it will haunt you. You can walk away from Jesus, but if you really know and you've had the answer, it's going to hurt you. It's going to haunt you to turn your back on him. Information is when you have the facts. Revelation is when the facts have you. Information involves the head, revelation, the heart. Information may get your attention, but revelation captures the spirit. Information comes from study and observation. Revelation comes from an encounter. Nothing wrong with information, but revelation is more than that. Flesh and blood give information. God gives revelation. In Galatians chapter 1, Paul said this, I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that the gospel I preached is not of human origin. I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it. Rather, I received it by revelation from Jesus. Information comes horizontally. Revelation comes vertically. Information is what you know. Revelation is who you know. Information is when you have the facts. Revelation is when you know the truth. There's a difference between knowing the facts and having the truth. In 2 Timothy, Paul spoke of a people who were ever learning, but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. They're getting smarter and smarter. They're taking in more and more information, but they never know the truth. They never catch the revelation of who Jesus is. Of this group, Paul said this, of this group who have much information, much knowledge, but no revelation, of this group, he said, they are loaded down with sin and swayed by evil desires. Knowledge without revelation is dangerous for you, for our country. See, they had information, but they weren't free. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Not you shall have information, and information will set you free. You have to have the truth, and this group had information but could never come to the knowledge of truth and therefore weren't free. People who know about God have information. People who know God have revelation. Freedom comes through revelation. When it is revealed, it can't be pulled out of you. When you see the baby, you can't unsee the baby. See, the world didn't give it to me, and so the world can't take it away. People have left their family because of revelation. People have died for Jesus because of revelation. The right answer comes through revelation. Number three, the right answer leads to relationship. When Peter answered, he said, you are the Christ. And if you read down just a little further, same little passage, we read it earlier. Jesus says, you are Peter. I like that. You're the Christ. You're Peter. They know each other. It's relationship. The church of Jesus is built on relationship. The two great commandments, love God, love people. The church is built on revelation and relationship. God knows you. The question is, do you know him? Do you have the right answer? What about you? What do you say about Jesus? Who is he? So, how do you get revelation? If it's something that God gives, can we just go and get it? This is where things get a little testy. I don't know that you can just go get it, but I think you need to know this. God is not trying to keep it hidden from you. The baby that's there, God is drawing the marker around and going, here it is. I want you to see it. See, because Jesus said if I would be lifted up from the earth, talking about his crucifixion, he would draw men to him. So there's already a drawing out there. So how can you get revelation? Well, let me give you three short things. Number one, just pay attention. Just pay attention. Consider the heavens. Get a book and Google it and look at the makings of the human body. Just look around. I can't remember who it was. It was like about a week and a half ago. I'm with somebody and they were sharing with me how they got saved. And they said, I got saved at 5 years old. It was Blinn. He wasn't in church. What, was you laying down? Front yard. He's laying down in the front yard looking at the heavens. And something in him said, there's a God. 5 years old. Did I tell it right? Told it right. So you want a revelation? Slow down. We just blow by everything and just run to YouTube. If you're going to go to YouTube, go to YouTube on creation. Get wild, get marveled, amazed, and realize that there's got to be a God. Slow down. Take a look. There's a God in heaven. Something else. Seek and you shall find, the Bible tells us. Seek and you will find. Not seek and you might. Seek and you will. You want a revelation? You don't feel like you have a revelation? Start seeking. Can I just tell you something? Information ain't a bad thing. Information can lead to revelation. Seek and you'll find. Well, I haven't found. Keep seeking. You'll find. One more thing. This is what you can do for other people. Maybe you got a son or a granddaughter. Maybe you got a mom or a dad, a friend, coworker, somebody that needs to know Jesus. And you just want them to have the revelation that you have. You want them to see the baby. Pray for them. Oh, pray for them. Yeah, that's the go-to answer. Yeah, but let me read to you Ephesians 1, 17 and 18. Paul said this, pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, that the eyes of your understanding would be enlightened. Pray. Well, God, I pray they get saved. That's a good prayer. But start getting specific about it. God, I pray that you remove the cover off their eyes. I pray that you give them a revelation and they say, see you. And just begin to dive down into that prayer. Begin to work that prayer and pray that they would have that encounter that opens their eyes. Revelation comes when your eyes are open to truth. So what about you? Who do you say Jesus is? I want to give you a follow-up question. And this is for those that have the right answer. If you have the right answer, my follow-up question is this. How did you get your answer? Do you simply have the right information, or have the eyes of your heart been opened? Do you know the answer only because you've been told, or do you know the answer for yourself? Y'all remember the woman at the well, and Jesus encountered her, and she had a revelation, and she all of a sudden realized she just met the Lord, and she goes back to her town and tells everybody, Jesus just talked to me. I saw Jesus. The town comes to meet Jesus, and they meet Jesus, and there's a very interesting verse in that story. They say this to the woman. We don't know that this is Jesus just because you told us. We now know for ourselves. Parents, tell your kids. Tell your grandkids. But at some point, they got to know the answer for themselves. So if you know the right answer, again, the second question is, how do you know this answer? I have been tempted and failed at times in my school years. on a test or some kind of paper, and I don't know the answer. And Susie Smart over here to my left is not doing a good job of hiding her paper. A glance, oh, there it is. And I write down the answer. I've got the right answer now. But how did I get that? You have the right answer, but how did you get it? Well, that's what my pastor says. That's what my mom and dad told me. It's good to copy their answer. It's good to grow up with that, but somewhere you got to know the answer for yourself. I know the answer, and I know because it was revealed to me. At some point, the faith that mom and dad have must become personal and real for their children. At some point, the generation under us has to have their own encounter with the God that we've spoken about. At some point, your children, my children, have to come into their own relationship with God. At some point, God has to become real to you. If you just copied the answer, you really don't have revelation. You took some information. You need the revelation. Maybe like Teresa, you are saved and have been for a long time. But maybe like Teresa, you need to have a point in life to where you go a little deeper in your relationship, where you go just a little stronger with your commitment to the Lord. And for those of you that had the right answer because of your encounter and because of God just making himself real to you, you are blessed. But know that there are more revelations to come as you grow in him. Amen? But that first revelation, who is Jesus? Some say he's Jeremiah. No, he's not. He's Elijah. No. John the Baptist. No. He's a good teacher. He's more than that. He's the Messiah. He's the Christ. He's the Son of the living God. That's the right answer. I'm showing you my paper. I'm showing you the right answer. But for you just to read it is just information. The eyes of your heart have to be opened. Would you bow with me and close your eyes for just a moment? I am not here this morning to try to convince you that you're not saved. I just want you to search your heart and examine yourself to make sure that you're in the faith, which is exactly what the Bible says to do. This comes to mind. We've got people in here that I've spoken with in the last week or two that thought they were members and found out they weren't. And it's very easy. We'll get them back on the membership roster. Not a problem. It's an easy step to take. It's not a big deal. But it would be a pretty big deal to think that you're saved and you're not. To think that you're in that membership and you're not. Just because you copied the right answer from someone, just because you took the information and the information was accurate, doesn't mean that the eyes of your heart have been opened. So with heads bowed and eyes closed, and I'm going to make this just personal, just you and God with me looking in. If you're here today, and today you just feel like, man, I just feel like I've known the right answer, but I'm pretty sold on the right answer. Well, if you're sold on the right answer because of your own study and your own observation, that then chances are you've had revelation. But if you feel like, man, I just have information. I mean, my parents say it, and so that's what I say. But as I hear my friends and as I go to school and I see other options, I'm wondering about them too. Maybe they're right. Maybe my parents are wrong. That's okay. You're in a place of seeking. Continue to seek, and you'll find. It doesn't bother me at all if you want to go searching for the truth. I have enough confidence in God that he will reveal himself to you. But while you're searching for truth, be careful how you live your life. You could do a lot of damage and then come to know Jesus, and you've got a lot of baggage that's going to be it's going to be hard to deal with. So live with morals as you seek. But with heads bowed and eyes closed, how many could just place a hand over your heart and say, today I'm receiving Jesus. I do believe he is the Christ. He is the Son of the living God. I believe that. And today I'm going to confess it. If that's you, put your hand over your heart. We're going to pray together here in just a moment. Awesome. Awesome. Maybe some of you need to make a fresh decision, a fresh commitment. You can Just put your hand over your heart as well. Father God, right now, I thank you for these that you are speaking to. Church, would you repeat this with me? For those with your hand over your heart, repeat these words, but hear them as you say them. Father God, I come to you in Jesus' name. I confess my sin, and I ask for your forgiveness. I believe in Jesus, that he is the Christ, the Son of the living God. He died for me that I might have life. And I receive him now. I see the baby Jesus, King Jesus, the returning Lord Jesus. I pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening today. For additional information or to call in a prayer need, you can reach Angleton First at 979-849-6112 or check us out on the web at angletonfirst.org. God's blessings upon you, and may His peace be yours today.